Brexit means Brexit.
Brexit is unumstossbar.
Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago. He's fired!
Au nom du peuple français!
Wir schaffen das.
Make our planet great again.
Don't worry, be happy.
I will kill you if you destroy my country.
Better is always possible.
Let's do this!
I ain't spending any time on it.
Hello, I'm Brett Mason in the gallery for SBS World News. And this week, I'm coming to you from CHOGM, the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, which is being held here in central London. And we have a special guest this week. His name is Ben Lewis, and he is our SBS Europe correspondent. Ben, hello.
Hello, Brett. It's nice to be talking with you in person, and I'm glad you brought the weather with you. It is unseasonably hot here, so I hope none of the leaders brought their winter wardrobe with them.
Aside from the weather, the big talking point of CHOGM is the Queen. For the first time, she has addressed the issue of succession. Here's what she told Commonwealth leaders a few moments ago.
It is my sincere wish that the Commonwealth will continue to offer stability and continuity for future generations. And we'll decide that one day the Prince of Wales should carry on the important work started by my father in 1949.
So pretty substantial news there from the Queen, because the royal family don't ever talk about what happens when there's a changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, it was a really interesting moment, actually. And Prince Charles was sitting there watching her say that at the time, and he made his own speech talking about the future of the Commonwealth. So very much a bit of a handover phase at the moment. Of course, it comes down to the various leaders of Commonwealth nations to make this decision. We've been sort of getting a bit of a sample of opinion during the week. I spoke to the president of the Seychelles, Danny Faure, who's a remarkable man, had some really interesting things to say about climate change, about the blue economy, and also told us that he believes that Prince Charles is the right person to take on that job. But Brett, you've been speaking to a leader yourself.
I have. The president of Kiribati will be joining us after Miles Morgan gives us his take on the week that was in Australian politics.
Thanks, Brett. And national security and our economy were the focus this week as we count down to the budget in May. Just before Malcolm Turnbull flew to London, he took the time to announce Australia's new defence chief. The present Chief of Army, Lieutenant General Angus Campbell, will take over as the Chief of Defence Force in July. He's a former Special Forces officer and the original commander of Operation Sovereign Borders, the military's operation to secure Australia's borders.
Our forces are engaged in complex and dangerous missions in the Middle East and elsewhere around the world. Coordination with our allies and partners and leadership at the cutting edge of technology is more important than ever. And that is why we need to have the finest minds, the finest leaders at the helm.
The PM mentioned there the Middle East, and it's a constant focus for the Australian Defence Force. Australia threw its support behind American-led airstrikes in Syria over the weekend. Now, while the ADF had withdrawn its fighter jets from the skies over Iraq and Syria late last year and had no involvement in the weekend strikes on alleged chemical weapons sites, the Defence Minister Maurice Payne says we could potentially take part in future military action.
The use of chemical weapons by anyone, anywhere, under any circumstances, is illegal and reprehensible. The Assad regime cannot be allowed to commit such crimes with impunity. Future requests or any future discussion would, of course, always be considered on its merits.
Of course, Australia's military contribution to the international coalition in the Middle East is relatively slight. The country is barely a blip on Russia's radar, but the government is playing the role of good ally to the United States and Britain by condemning the Assad regime's actions. Malcolm Turnbull himself made some very pointed criticisms of Russia.
The fact is, Russia should not allow it to happen. Russia is a member of the United Nations Security Council. It claims to be against the use of chemical weapons. It should stop all the denial and the pretense that it wasn't an action by the Syrian government, and ensure that the chemical weapons are destroyed.
On the domestic front, the annual pre-budget speculation gathered momentum as the May 8th economic blueprint approaches. The government's been hinting its theme this year will be tax cuts and huge spends on infrastructure. But Acting Prime Minister Michael McCormack may have got a little ahead of himself when he labelled the Treasurer Scott Santa Claus Morrison.
This budget
will be a responsible budget. I'm not Santa Claus. It won't be Christmas in May, but, you know, I don't intend to be the Grinch either when it comes to these things. What we will have is what we've always produced, and that is a responsible budget with measures the country can afford.
As you can hear, the Treasurer on the ABC there was quick not to get people's hopes up. One thing the government was very eager to talk about was the impact of migrants on the Australian economy. New Treasury analysis acknowledges Australia's recent humanitarian intake will cost the government nearly $3 billion over the next few decades. However, that's more than offset by the overall contribution of permanent migrants to Australia, totaling some $10 billion over the next 50 years. And that analysis comes as some inside the coalition continue to call for a cut in Australia's migrant intake. And Brett, that was The Week in Politics.
Well, the big news here at the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in London is that the Queen has revealed her sincere wish for her son, Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, to succeed her as the non-hereditary head of the Commonwealth. I asked the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, about this topic. It is a controversial one at this summit. Here's what he said.
Just on topic, who should be the next head of the Commonwealth, Prime Minister?
Well, the head of the Commonwealth is Her Majesty the Queen. And the next head of the Commonwealth should be her successor, who will be Prince Charles when he succeeds Her Majesty. So in other words, our policy, the Australian government's position, is that the head of the Commonwealth should continue to be the King or Queen of the United Kingdom.
SBS Europe correspondent Ben Lewis is our guest this week. And Ben, you've been speaking to some of the leaders here, including the president of the Seychelles. What's he had to say on this?
Well, it's pretty common thought among the leaders, it seems, is that there is a tradition with this. It's not a hereditary position, but they believe that tradition should be followed. And this is even from some smaller states that perhaps don't have that affection for the royal family and the monarchy that many in Australia still have. But Danny Foray said that Prince Charles should be the next person to take the job. He's a man who's trying to oversee quite significant change in the Seychelles at the moment, a new economy, focusing on the benefits of being a small island state. Here's a little of what he had to say. We've been speaking with a lot of activists and LGBT rights campaigners who work in the Commonwealth space. I know that the laws changed in the Seychelles in the last couple of years, decriminalising homosexuality. What is your advice to other leaders of Commonwealth countries where that is not the case, where there are still jail penalties involved for people in same-sex relationships? What is your advice to them?
I think we need to look at things in context. We took a very important decision to remove this law that we had inherited. And I think we cannot discriminate against homosexuality in any other countries, any of our nations. We are living in a modern world, and I think there's also an issue of education, an issue of whereby we need to sensitize the population, and it is up to governments and the political will and also the legislative branch to do what is necessary to protect the rights of all citizens.
How did it change? How did the public view and the government view change in the Seychelles? Because I know some activists say it's very important to not feel that some countries are being pressured by Britain, Australia, some of the larger states, into changing their domestic policy on this topic.
No, I think the change, it came as a natural. I think it's, I would put it in another term, it has been a cumulative over a long period of time. But we have a very young population nowadays in our country. And the citizens of Seychelles are well aware of what's happening in today's world. Very educated population. So it was a matter of putting it before the House for a decision to be taken.
A lot of times at these summits, there's a focus on what some big countries are doing and what other countries can learn from them. I want to look at it the other way around. What is something do you think that the bigger countries like Australia could learn from what's been happening in the Seychelles in recent years? I know you've been making big changes into looking into the blue economy, for example.
No, the blue economy concept is a very important concept. It has to be part of our agenda. And I think it is something that Australia can certainly learn from Seychelles.
One of the things being discussed this week, we understand with your fellow heads of government, is who should replace the Queen when she eventually, I guess, passes away as the head of the Commonwealth. Do you have any view on that matter that you're able to share with us? Do you believe Prince Charles should be the next head of the Commonwealth?
I would put it this way. I look at it from the history, the heritage of the Commonwealth, and Her Majesty the Queen has represented the crown. And I think it is in this light that I would put it, that the head of the Commonwealth should be the crown.
What would you like to see the Commonwealth achieve over the next few years before the next summit? What are the areas that you think it can be a mechanism for change in?
I think the voice for the young people. I had the opportunity for me to talk to the young people at yesterday's Commonwealth Youth Forum, and 60% of the population living in the Commonwealth countries today are below 30 years old, and the population of the Commonwealth is 2.4 billion. So here we have not only we have the future. And we need to empower the young people, give them a say, give them a place, put them at the center of development. So I would want all nations within the Commonwealth to take the young people seriously. In fact, if we are to learn from them, it's the use of technology, and the young people can teach us, but the use of technology will leapfrog development, and this is where the young of the youth of our countries will have a leading role, a major role to play in future.
The president of the Seychelles, Danny Foray, there, and it was really interesting to note that he was talking about the fact that he believes larger Commonwealth countries, India, Britain, Canada, Australia, can learn something from some of these smaller states, and that's an opportunity that this summit provides to be able to share that sort of information that they normally wouldn't in these sort of forums. Now, Brett, we're lucky because we have not one but two presidents on the pod this week.
It's true, Ben. Just a few moments ago, I sat down with President Mamo of Kiribati, the very small island nation that has waged a frantic war against climate change and rising sea level. His Excellency has been copping a lot of political criticism from his opponents back home for his KV20 plan, his Kiribati Vision 20, effectively the President's 20-year plan for the country. His political opponents say that he isn't facing up to the reality that his island and his country is sinking.
We love the Commonwealth. Because there are many legacies about the Commonwealth, a shared home for us. And it's this concept of home and family that we cherish so much. And being with a big partner and with the other countries around the globe that we have a common ties, common history, common with a common destiny, then, well, it has to be like that. So, although in a way, our needs may not be reflected, but well, that's our duty. That's our role as leaders from smaller countries to bang, bang, to knock, knock. And I think one day they'll listen to us.
These are big issues. Your country is sinking. Your people are looking for jobs. As president, these are big issues. How do you deal with that burden?
All right, but let me correct you. We are not sinking. We are not sinking. That's different. We are seriously affected by climate change, but we are not sinking. We are trying to build up our capacity to maintain our resilience, and our people wants to stay. That's the difference. The voice of the people doesn't. They don't want to leave their island. So we have to go with that.
Do you get a bit frustrated because when people hear the word Kiribati, they think climate change. They think this is a disappearing country. You were very quick to say to me, no, our island isn't sinking. Yes. It's okay. Yes. It's a long-term problem, but it's one that we can beat.
Maybe it's a leadership style, depending on, because, the previous governments tend to take that stand with the climate change, associating it with the sinking of the islands and encouraging the migration with dignity. Well, we believe in climate change is, as I said, is creating a lot of damage. And some are already happening to a very large extent. And people are not, we hold workshops, consultations widely with the people, just to assess whether they want to leave the islands or not. Most of them don't want to leave. So we thought, for time immemorial, ever since, Kiribati has been there for so many, many years. But we believe that it will be there as a country, as a people. We don't want to let others believe that we are giving up.
Mother Nature is very unpredictable. Do you think that money and hope will be enough to beat her?
Well, may not, but maybe I'm biased. I'm a Christian, and I believe that the decision is not our decision. It's the decision of God. So we, and that's how I see it. And that's how the people of Kiribati, because they are predominantly Christian, they see that they have hope. It's not a losing battle. We have a hope to build up our islands.
It's interesting when you talk to people like yourself who are so far away from Buckingham Palace, and here you are, you've just been to meet the Queen and you'll have dinner with her this evening.
Yes.
Why are people from your country and our region in the world so not just enthusiastic about the Commonwealth? You use the word love. You have a real affection with the Queen. Why is Her Majesty so well regarded in Kiribati? What do people like about her?
Well, they were their names for so many, many years. So there's a legacy there. She has been able to rule for so long and rule with love and honesty. And she's innovative, and she has a wide way of seeing things. And the outcome is that she has been able to maintain stability in their country here, in the UK, but not only in the UK, all throughout the Commonwealth, as well as the world. So that's the, and she's a long-serving, I think there's a legacy, long-serving member of the monarch family here in the UK, so.
The Queen, for the first time today, talked about what might happen with the Commonwealth after her reign, which is a fairly significant moment. She said that it's her hope that the Commonwealth will elect her son and heir, Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, to become the next head of the Commonwealth.
Yes.
What is your opinion about that? Do you think that Prince Charles should be the next head of the Commonwealth?
Well, I don't know, but it's a very symbolic role to play. And I also favour Prince Charles to take over from my mother. Not that he depend. I'm not questioning his qualities, but I'm maybe supporting the fact, as I said, it's a symbolic role to play. Sometimes, in the culture of Kiribati, we would prefer those with symbolic roles to take up that position rather than to let someone step in from outside, because certainly I don't want that kind of situation to happen.
When you look around the world at the moment and you see someone like Donald Trump in the White House, who is very different to what you've just described, what do you think? Does he scare you?
Well, politics is a game-changing also, but anyway. I respect Donald Trump's decision, because that is his decision for his people and his country. But, if he's listening to me, I would like to challenge him. Not, of course, to the boxing ring, but I would like to challenge him to come to the Pacific, come to Kiribati, because it's important also to see the reality of especially these highly victimized countries in respect to climate change. So who knows? He may change his mind.
Where would you take Mr. President if he came to Kiribati? What would you show him? What would you like for him to see in your country?
Well, there's a capital of Kiribati, Tarawa, where the facilities are quite good. There are also nearby close islands. I can go with him on a small plane to see what one or two outer islands with him. But yes, I respect his decision. But I just wished, because, the U.S. is a big country, big resources and big technical people, knowledge and all that. We would need him. We would need the United States to be part of the fight against climate change.
Well, there you go. Two presidents this week on the gallery. Not a bad effort, Ben. I fly out now to Berlin and Brussels and France, Villers-Bretonneux with the Prime Minister. You, though, are stuck on Royal Watch. The Royal assignment doesn't end after Chogham for you.
Royal baby number three is on its way, and then in less than a month, it's the big day at Windsor Castle, the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I cannot believe, Brett, that I did not get a chance to talk about what Meghan Markle was wearing at Chogham events this week. Our listeners are going to be very disappointed.
It's been quite a lovely few days, and we hope that you get some sun back home in Australia and enjoy the weekend.
SBS acknowledges the Ngunnawal people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which the Australian Parliament sits and where this program was recorded. We pay respect to the elders of the Ngunnawal Nation, both past and present.